Gold in Mexico? I sure there is. Not 10 days from here by rail and pack train, there's a mountain waiting for the right guy to come along, discover her treasure, and then tickle her till she lets him have it. The question is, are you the right guy? Ha! Real bonanzas are few and far between that take a lot of finding. Say, answer me this one, will you? Why is gold worth some $20 an ounce? 1,000 men, say, go searching for gold. After 6 months, one of them's lucky. 1 out of 1,000. His find represents not only his own labor, but that of 999 others to boot. That's 6,000 months, 500 years, scrambling over mountains, going hungry and thirsty. An ounce of gold, mister, is worth what it is, because the human labor that went into the finding and the getting of it. Well, there's no other explanation, mister. Gold itself ain't good for nothing except making jewelry with. And gold teeth. Ah, gold's a devil sort of thing anyway. You start out to tell yourself you'll be satisfied with 25,000 hands of smackers worth of it, so help me, Lord, and cross my heart. Fine resolution. After months of sweating yourself dizzy, and growing short in provisions and finding nothing, you finally come down to 15,000. And then 10. Finally, you say, Lord, let me just find $5,000 worth, and I'll never ask for anything more the rest of my life. Yeah, here in this joint seems like a lot. But I tell you, if you was to make a real strike, you couldn't be dragged away. Not even the threat of miserable death wouldn't keep you from trying to add $10,000 more. 10,000, you'd want to get 25. 25,000, you'd want to get 50. 50,000, 100. Like roulette. One more turn, you know. Always one more turn. I've dug in Alaska, in Canada, and Colorado. I was with the crowd, the British Honduras, where I made my fare back home and almost enough over to cure me of the fever I'd caught. Dug in California and Australia. All over the world, practically. Yeah, I know what gold does to men's souls. That's gold. That's what it makes us. Never knew a prospector yet that died rich. Make one fortune, he's sure to blow it and trying to find another. I'm no exception to the rule. Sure, I'm an odd old bone now, but say, don't you guys think the spirit's gone? I'm all set to shoulder a pickaxe and a shovel anytime anyone's willing to share expenses. I'd rather go by myself. Going alone's the best way, but you gotta have a stomach for loneliness. Some guys go nutty with it. On the other hand, going with a partner or two is dangerous. Murderers always lurking about. Partners accusing each other of all sorts of crimes. As long as there's no fine, the noble brotherhood will last. But when the piles of gold begin to grow, that's where the trouble starts.
That was Russ. Is anyone else on this monologue, this 10-point monologue?
Yes, there is, and ironically named, it is copper.
It's the metallic off. That doesn't make sense. Okay, let's listen to copper.
Gold in Mexico. Why, sure there is. Not 10 days from here by rail and pack train, there's a mountain waiting for the right guy to come along, discover her treasure, then tickle her until she lets him have it. The question is, are you the right guy? Oh, real bonanzas are few and far in between that take a lot of finding. Say, answer me this one, will you? Why is gold worth some $20 an ounce? 1,000 men, say, go searching for gold. After 6 months, one of them's lucky. 1 out of 1,000. His find represents not only his own labor, but that of 999 others to boot. That's, 6,000 months, 500 years, scrambling over mountains, going hungry and thirsty. An ounce of gold, mister, is what it's worth because of the human labor that went into the finding and the getting of it. Well, there's no other explanation, mister. Gold itself ain't good for nothing except for making jewelry with, and gold teeth. Oh, gold's a devilish sort of thing anyway. You start out to tell yourself you'll be satisfied with 25,000 handsome smackers worth of it. So help me, Lord, and cross my heart. Fine resolution. After months of sweating yourself dizzy and growing short on provisions and finding nothing, you finally come down to 15,000, and then 10. Finally, you say, Lord, let me just find $5,000 worth, and I'll never ask for anything more the rest of my life. Yeah, here in this joint it seems like a lot, but I tell you, if you was to make a real strike, you couldn't be dragged away. Not even the threat of miserable death wouldn't keep you from trying to add 10,000 more. 10,000, you'd want to get 25. 25,000, you'd want to get 50. 50,000, 100. Like roulette. One more turn, you know. Always one more. I've dug in Alaska and Canada and Colorado. I was with the crowd in the British Honduras where I made my fare back home and almost enough to cure me of the fever I'd caught. Dug in California and Australia. All over the world, practically. Yeah, I know what gold does to men's souls. That's gold. That's what it makes us. Never knew a prospector that died rich. Make one fortune, he's sure to blow it trying to find another. I'm no exception to the rule. Oh, sure, I'm a gnawed old bone now, but see, don't you guys think the spirit's gone? I'm all set to shoulder a pickaxe and a shovel anytime anybody's willing to share expenses. I'd rather go by myself. Going it alone's the best way. But you gotta have a stomach for loneliness. Some guys go nutty with it. On the other hand, going with a partner, too, is dangerous. Murderers always lurking about. Partners accusing each other of all sorts of crimes. Oh, as long as there's no fine, the noble brotherhood will last. But when the piles of gold begin to grow, that's when the trouble starts.
That was Copper. We have one more on the monologue, right?
Yes, we do.
Is it a metallic person?
It is Jinxers.
Jinxers! Let's listen.
Gold in Mexico? Why, sure there is. Not 10 days from here, by rail and pack train, there's a mountain waiting for the right guy to come along, discover her treasure, and then tickle her until she lets him have it. Now the question is, are you the right guy? All real bonanzas are few and far between that take a lot of finding. Say, answer me this one, will you? Why is gold worth some $20 an ounce? 1,000 men, say, go searching for gold. After 6 months, one of 'em's lucky. One out of 1,000. His find represents not only his own labor, but that of 999 others to boot. That's 6,000 months, 500 years scrambling over mountains, going hungry and thirsty. An ounce of gold, mister, is worth what it is because of the human labor that went into the finding and the getting of it. Well, there's no other explanation, mister. Gold itself ain't good for nothing except for making jewelry with and gold teeth. Oh, gold's a devilish sort of thing anyway. You start out to tell yourself you'll be satisfied with 25,000 handsome smackers worth of it, so help me, Lord, and cross my heart. Fine resolution. After months of sweating yourself dizzy and growing short on provisions and finding nothing, you finally come down to 15,000 and then 10. Finally, you say, Lord, just let me find $5,000 worth and I'll never ask you for anything more the rest of my life. Yeah, here in this joint, it seems like a lot. But I tell you, if you was to make a real strike, you couldn't be dragged away. Not even the threat of miserable death wouldn't keep you from trying to add 10,000 more. 10,000? You'd want to get 25. 25,000, you'd want to get 50. 50,000? 100. Like roulette. One more turn, you know. Always one more. I've dug in Alaska and Canada and Colorado. I was with the crowd in British Honduras, where I made my fare back home and almost enough to cure me of the fever I caught. Dug in California and Australia, all over the world, practically. Yeah, I know what gold does to men's souls. That's gold. That's what it makes us. Never knew a prospector yet that died rich. Make one fortune, he's sure to blow it in trying to find another. Well, I'm no exception to the rule. Oh, sure, I'm a gnawed old bone now, but say, don't you guys think the spirit's gone? I'm all set to shoulder a pickaxe and a shovel any time anybody's willing to share expenses. Now, I'd rather go by myself. Going alone's the best way, but you gotta have a stomach for loneliness. Some guys go nutty with it. On the other hand, going with a partner or two is dangerous. Murderers always lurking about. Partners accusing each other of all sorts of crimes. Oh, as long as there's no fine, the noble brotherhood will last. But when the pile of gold begins to grow, that's when the trouble starts.
Okay, that was Jinxers. And that was all three on that monologue.
It was.
So we are now going to discuss... Let's talk about Russ first. Russ, I love the grizzled prospector voice, and I love the read. Sometimes the roughness ebbed out of your voice. It wavered a little bit. I love how you took a dark turn on I Know What Gold Does to Men's Souls. I thought it was highly entertaining and a good read. What did you think about Rust?
I actually agree with pretty much all of that. Like, it was really gruff and interesting to listen to. And, like, the reason I gave this such a high score was because it's so long and the monologue really is boring. So I knew that, like, to hold someone's attention for it would have been really good, and you managed to do that. You had good emotional changes, but the grizzledness did kind of ebb out, and it seemed a little deeper at some points without the gruffness.
I've actually noticed consistently that's a problem that you have is maintaining a voice. So that might be something maybe you would want to focus on, because you're a really good actor. But sometimes when
and
you do
Malt
voices,
and Malt loves character voices.
Malt does.
Malt loves accents and character voices in Avengers.
Yes. Talk about Copper.
Copper. I, once again, really loved that voice. Like, the grizzled, deep voice. Like, you guys threw me away with that.
They threw and, like, you away with it?
Blew me away.
Oh, okay.
It sounds the same.
They threw you into the trash.
Yeah. Just tossed me into the dump. But, like, you kept the character. You kept the character, and sorry if Erin was talking. She's a loser.
She's a loud. She has a good face.
All right, yeah, like, you kept the character. Like, you didn't, like, lose that voice, so that was good. It felt like there were a few run-ons, so at times it was a bit slow. And you didn't really range with the emotional things. Like, it might have just been because Russ went first and did those different things that I was expecting it from each one, but I loved this read, though.
I don't think, for me, I always expect levels, especially in really long monologues. I think for such a long monologue, a lot of you guys missed the chance to inject some different levels into it. And I think it's because you guys all decided to do, like, characters that speak very lazily and weren't sure how to transition that into more intensity when you needed to. But that was a crazy voice, Copper. It sounded like a Red Dead Redemption voiceover. I think the slow way of speaking hindered you a little bit on the intensity of the monologue. I do think you did a better job of maintaining your chosen voice than Russ did. But the slow, sort of lazy way of speaking kind of made the monologue a little boring. And I think what would help you is if you take your monologue and mark on it the specific points where you want to take it in different directions, like where you want to pick up the pace or intensity. That way you can read it that same way every time, like, and you always know, okay, here I'm going to go to a different place with it. What did you think
of that? That is some sound advice.
Thank you. Ambie gave me that advice one time on it for a monologue, and I'm just regurgitating it to Copper. Jinxers. I was a little iffy on the voice. I think you were trying to do an older man, but it sounded kind of like an old woman. So for me, a bit of the believability went out of the monologue. But then I kind of got into the voice later on. I was like, oh, okay, I kind of see how this works. And it did work for me later on. But again, as with Copper, I felt like it was just a very bland read of it. And with a monologue like this that's so long and kind of boring, you need to really... Actually, I don't think the monologue itself is boring. It's an interesting monologue, but I think it being so long, you have to pick places to change it up. So what did you think about Jinxers?
Yeah, like, I think we're agreeing on a lot of this stuff. Like, yeah, like, the accent kind of... And this time I'm going to get my phrasing right. Threw me off at first. Ha, see? That was right. No, but... yeah, it threw me off at first, but it definitely kept my attention, and so as I kept listening, like, I got more into it, and it was really interesting to read, like, not to read, to listen to. So it was fun to listen to.
They were all three. All three of them had something I like in it, I think, and something that was a little bit iffy for me. But I did pick a winner.
I did, too.
This is the 10-point monologue, and I thought that Russ won that one.
I did, too.
Okay. Russ, Team Utterly Absurd, gets 10 points.
Wow.
That is a big win.
That is a big win. They are, they've either tied or won all other monologues tonight. Blackjack is still remaining from that team, and he's going against Tregatree. Those are the last two left on the third man. It's worth 6 points from 1949. Screenwriter Graham Greene, opening voiceover narration. The opening monologue given by Holly Martins, played by Joseph Cotten. This is the original UK version of the speech. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I never knew the old Vienna before the war, with its Strauss music and glamour and easy charm. Constantinople suited me better, and I really got to know it in the classic period, the black market. We'd run anything if people wanted it enough, or had the money to pay. Of course, a situation like that does tempt amateurs, but, you know, they can't run the course like a professional. Now, the city, it's divided into four zones, you know, each occupied by a power. The American, the British, the Russian, and the French. But the center of the city, that's international policed by an international patrol. One member of each of the four powers. Wonderful. What a hope. They had all strangers to the place, and none of them could speak the same language except a sort of smattering of German. Good fellows, though, on the whole. They did their best, you know. Vienna now doesn't really look any worse than any of the other European cities. Bombed about a bit, but... And, oh, I was going to tell you, Wait, I was going to tell you about Holly Martins. Yes, an American. Came all the way here to visit a friend of his. The name was Lime. Harry Lime. Now, Martins was broke, and Lime had offered him some sort of... some sort of job. Anyway, there he was. Poor chap. Happy as a lark, and without a cent.
That was Blackjack. Now we will listen to Tregatree, and Malt says, ooh...
I never knew the old Vienna before the war, with its Strauss music, its glamour and easy charm. Constantinople suited me better. I really got to know it in the classic period of the black market. We'd run anything if people wanted it enough. Had the money to pay. Of course, a situation like that does tempt amateurs, but you know they can't stay the course like a professional. Now the city... It's divided into four zones, you know, each occupied by a power. The American, the British, the Russian, and the French. But the center of the city, that's international, policed by an international patrol, one member of each of the four powers. Wonderful! What a hope they had! All strangers to the place, and none of them could speak the same language. Except a sort of smattering of German. Good fellows, on the whole. Did their best, you know? Vienna doesn't really look any worse than a lot of other European cities. Bombed about a bit. Oh, I was gonna tell you about Holly Martins, an American. came all the way here to visit a friend of his. The name is Lime. Harry Lime. Now, Martins was broke, and Lime had offered him some sort of, I don't know, some sort of job. Anyway, there he was, poor chap, happy as a lark, and without a cent.
All right, that was the last two of the evening. We start with blackjack. I like this blackjack. I thought it was really conversational. Both of you guys did crazy accents. I didn't really care for either of your accents, but apparently I just don't like accents because Malt's the accent person.
Totally the accent person.
But I liked your read of this. What did you think?
I think, like, with the accent, you could have maybe dedicated yourself towards it a little more because it didn't really fall in any particular accent itself. But it was really interesting, and I liked how you actually, like, went with the emotions of it. Like, but there was one point where you were laughing and happy, and then, like, you just stopped. And I don't know if it was either because you went to a new take with that, or you just, like, stopped with the emotion.
I think this was a challenging monologue because, well, did you have anything else you wanted to say about Blackjack?
I think that's it.
Okay, because Chekichi also kind of did that. You can start on Chekichi, and then I'll say what I was going to say, if you want.
Alright, yeah, I'll just do both, then you can do both.
Okay.
Alright, yeah, like, wait, did you already do Blackjack?
We already both talked about Blackjack. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, I'm tired.
It's okay.
Alright, yeah, like, I think with Chekichi, she did a little better in at least holding a particular accent. It was a little more believable, but there was strange fluctuation. And I think I heard that it was like a first take or something, and you sent it to us because stuff got confusing. But yeah, like there was some strange fluctuation, but it was fun to listen to, and it was believable to me.
It was like a Scar from The Lion King was doing the opening narration. That's what I got from this. I was kind of unsure as to what you were going for in yours because it changed so drastically at one point on Wonderful. Like it got very like over the top, and then all of a sudden it dropped back down to like the way you were speaking at the beginning, which was more subdued. And it seemed just like an awkward bump in the energy. But I thought you set it up better as far as the ending, because it is an opening monologue and it's supposed to set up the movie. And the way that you read the ending made me more interested to see what this dude you were talking about was all about than Blackjack's. But I did pick a winner. Did you pick a winner?
I did pick a winner.
Overall, I felt Blackjack's was a bit more believable, so I went with Blackjack.
And we are once again disagreeing, and I think it's strategy.
Okay. Well, the Utterly Absurdist got half of those points, which are 3. And Tregatry is on Team Oscar, so Team Oscar gets 3 points. And we will be back in just a second with the point totals now and the what's coming up next week. Okay, we are back. This week was a really good week for Team Utterly Absurd, but that just means that at any given time somebody can own a week and get a lot of points. So don't get discouraged when I read these scores, people. In last place right now, Team Heaven Sucks with 13 points. In second to last, Team Bollywood with 18. In second, Team Oscar with 25.5, and Team Utterly Absurdists are in the lead with 55.5. I know. Monologues coming up next week. We have monologues from Sunset Boulevard. That's
Sunset
1950.
Boulevard.
1951, A Streetcar Named Desire. 1952, High Noon. 1953, From Here to Eternity. 1954, On the Waterfront. 1955, The 7-Year Itch. 1956, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. 1957, The Incredible Shrinking Man. 1958, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And 1959, Some Like It Hot. Some people have been complaining about the lack of female monologues, but honestly, like in the 40s and 30s, they didn't really write a lot of strong female characters. But there will be more female monologues coming up the later we get into this competition. Also, there's more men than there are women in this competition, so I'm trying to keep them, like, the fractions around equal. But I know there haven't been a lot of female monologues. So suck it. Okay. Do you have anything you want to say before we go?
I think I do not.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.